You know how Hollywood likes to cast 25 or 30-year-old model-type starlets as high-level scientists? Like Denise Richards as a nuclear physicist in a James Bond movie? Or Jessica Alba as an MIT scientist in Fantastic Four?
The synthetics act as a second skin, adapting to your body's individual needs.
Well, here is a real story of a real starlet, billed by the PR machine at the time as the most beautiful woman in the world, who is a pioneer of modern telecommunications. Studio 360's Eric Molinsky has this interesting history lesson.
Now, would you mind saying that again rather slowly?
I came here to ask you to marry me.
Why?
Because you have no money.
The communications world of technology as we know it, cell phones, GPS, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, it can all be traced back to Hedy Lamarr, the movie actress. I know, it's like saying Rita Hayworth invented the video game. And if this were the story of a movie, it might just seem wacky.
It's not a word I use normally, by the way. It's your word, wacky. It's quite wacky for a film star and a piano player to come up with an idea like that, which is so important in technological terms nowadays.
This is Rob Walters. He wrote a book called Hedy Lamarr and the Mobile Phone. He says the story begins at a Hollywood party in 1940. Hedy Lamarr meets a musician named George Antheil.
They met quite deliberately, although I don't think George knew, so that she could discuss the possibility of enlarging her breasts.
I know this is getting even wackier, but it's true.
Yeah, so he had a bit of a reputation in Hollywood for recommending certain things that could be done to stimulate the glandular system.
Long before the age of silicone implants. Hedy Lamarr talked with him for a while, and then she left the party. He thought that was going to be the end of it, but
when he went out to the car park, she had scrawled her telephone number across his windscreen in lipstick.
Her interest in George wasn't necessarily romantic. She wanted to pick his brain. Okay, a little background on Hedy Lamarr. She'd been married to an arms dealer in Vienna, and even though he was Jewish, he was working for the Nazis. And she was both fascinated by his work because she had the scientific mind and just absolutely disgusted by who he was working for. So naturally, by the time she had gotten to the United States, she really wanted to help the war effort. And she couldn't stop thinking about torpedoes.
Torpedoes, when launched from a ship, normally just take the course that the ship was on. If the ship that they're aiming at, or submarine or whatever, moves out of the way, they can avoid the torpedo. And they were easily traced. They ran off compressed air, so you could see a stream of bubbles behind them.
Now, a ship could conceivably control a torpedo using radio waves. But the problem was always encryption, because the enemy, using a radio, could listen in and, you know, even take control of the torpedo. So this was the idea that Hedy wanted to talk to George about. What if the transmission between the ship and the torpedo was broken into little pieces and then spread across the entire radio spectrum?
The problem is, a very simple problem, how do you make sure that you're exactly in step?
And here's why an experimental composer like George Antheil could solve this problem.
George knew how to synchronize pianolas.
He wrote a famous composition called Ballet Mécanique. It had 16 automatic pianos playing in sync. So George said, well, what if you put a tiny piano roll inside the torpedo?
And of course, the ship has exactly the same roll as the torpedo.
The holes in the roll determined the frequency that the ship and the torpedo could receive transmissions. They got a professor at Caltech to draw up the patent, and they gave it to the U.S. Navy. And the Navy actually considered it, but the mechanics would have been cumbersome and unreliable.
So they went back to their normal lives of being an actress and a piano player.
Fade to black.
By 1958, the first computer chips are being used.
Retired Colonel David Hughes picks up the story from here.
Contract engineer for the Navy pulled that patent off the shelf and had no idea that it was Hedy Lamarr, because it was a U.S. naval patent at this time. And then he used a pair of computer chips which could basically synchronize at both ends. And by 1962, the U.S. Navy then had frequency hopping for secure, classified naval communications. And so that went on for the next 40-some years.
The Navy engineers called it frequency hopping, which always sounded to me like the name of a swing dance. But the official name was CDMA, Code Division Multiple Access. In 1985, CDMA was declassified for commercial use. Now, at that time, the emerging cell phone industry was in the midst of a big fight over which standard to use. And this one electrical engineer named Irwin Jacobs saw the potential of CDMA. He just started a company called Qualcomm, which is now, you know, a cell phone giant. And he spent years trying to convince his colleagues that CDMA had to be the industry standard.
And during that period, there were some professors being quoted from, two in particular from Stanford, that were quoted as saying that CDMA violated the laws of physics, that it would never work.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, you were really just a believer throughout this whole process, long process.
Right. I would wake up at 4 a.m. and, you know, try to think, well, is there some technical point, a marketing point that we're missing that's going to cause this whole thing to stop? But luckily, we managed to bridge all those issues.
Now, when did you find out that Hedy Lamarr was connected to this?
Actually, someone sent us a note about that after we had already started to commercialize CDMA. So I was not aware of it until fairly late in the game.
Now, in the early 90s, Colonel David Hughes was researching the history of frequency hopping. He came across the original patent.
The name of the patent was under Hedwig Keisler.
Well, he knew that Hedwig Keisler was the real name of Hedy Lamarr.
Well, sure, I was in love with her when I was 13 and she was 24.
We truly treated you badly.
Badly and foolishly as well. Your offer is ridiculous.
The invention of Hedy Lamarr and George Antheil evolved into a family of technologies that we call spread spectrum. It's the world we live in today, 3G, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, GPS. And I know this sounds like the end of a movie, and it might be soon. I was tipped off to this story when I met a filmmaker at a party named Amy Redford. She and her colleagues are working on the script of a Hedy Lamarr movie.
And the thing that's wonderful is you go from seeing her sketching out these incredibly complex concepts on cocktail napkins, and then the next thing you know, she's in like a Vegas-style headdress, standing there and not being able to say anything, being told to shut up by a director.
She's an interesting theory about Hedy Lamarr's motivations.
This invention was also her personal redemption. I think she needed to do this. She was, you know, in some ways complicit. She married a guy who was selling arms to the Nazis. And, you know, she comes from a Jewish background. And there's things that she needed to do for her own personal sense of self, as well as for, you know, society and the world at large. In history, so many inventions that were meant to bring people together that ended up being used in war. And this is one that was meant to be applied in war and ended up bringing people together.
For Studio 360, I'm Eric Malinsky. I'm done.